Me back to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. This morning we looked at verses 16 to 22 for our Bible study on this rich young ruler who came to the Lord asking, "What good thing do I need to do to attain, to earn eternal life?" And the Lord told him to keep the commandments, which he very ignorantly thought he was doing. And that's the case for many, many people. That's the sad case for many people. They think because they do or don't do things outwardly before men, they are right with God. I had a man tell me that one time concerning somebody else. He's right with God. And I know what he meant. He meant he's right with men. That's what he meant. But what people don't realize is being right with men is not being right with God. And they may be, men, people may be, as our Lord worded it, whited sepulchers on the outside, maybe cleaned up, dressed up, look nice on the outside. But he said on the inside, they're just dead men's bones. And that's what God is looking at, what's on the inside. And even if a commandment of God was kept on the outside, there's not one commandment in this book that has ever been kept on the inside of any human being on this earth. Not one. The sin that we are, the sin that originates in the innermost being of us, because it's what we are. It's what we are. That indwelling sin has broken every commandment of God that there is. Every single one of them. And the longer we go, the more we will realize that and be convinced of that. I believe the longer a believer lives and the older he gets, the more convinced he or she will be. I really am a sinner. At first, you hear you're a sinner. And then you think you're a sinner. And then you start to really become convinced, I really am a sinner. I really am the man. You know, at first you see other people and you think, boy, there's a lot of sinners in this world. And then you really, if God's grace, if His Spirit comes to men and women, they really are convinced, I really am the man. I really am that sinner. But this sin that we are, you know, man can't see it. You cannot see what's going on the inside of me. Only I have a small inkling of what's going on inside here. Just a small inkling. But God sees all of it. God sees all of it. So men and women are greatly deceiving themselves if they think that they're keeping the commandments of God. With man, it is not a possibility. And that's what our Lord said in verse 26. For the message this morning, we looked at verses 23 to 26. And in verse 26, our Lord said, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. It's impossible. With men, attaining eternal life is impossible. He said, God has to do this. God has to do this. God must do this for man. He must do for man what man can't do for himself. And the glory of the gospel is God did do for man what he could not do for himself. He did. Christ came to this earth and for his people, just get a hold of this, for his people, he obeyed God. That's what Christ did. He obeyed God for his people. Every jot, every tittle of the law, he obeyed it for his people. He obeyed it perfectly, like we were talking about earlier today. Inside and out. Outside and in. He obeyed it perfectly for his people. He obeyed it to the fullest degree, from the beginning to the end. for His people. He obeyed it even unto death, the death of the cross. Hebrews 5 says, He learned obedience by the things which He suffered for His people. So as we said in the Bible study, the question is not, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? With man, it's impossible. The only question there is for a child of God to ask is, what good thing did Christ do that I may have eternal life? What did Christ do? The only way eternal life is possible is with God. He must be the author of it. He must be the doer of it. He must be the finisher of it. He's the object of it. He's the glory of it. The only hope is Christ. Our only hope is in Christ. Our only hope is with Christ. That's what our Lord was saying to this rich young ruler when He said, you go sell everything you have and follow Me. That's what God's people have done. They have sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, it's Me alone. It's Me and nothing else. It's Me or nothing else. Get rid of everything that you see as being value before God and cling to Me alone. Well, it says in verse 22, when the Lord said this to this man, go sell everything you have and follow Me. It says he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And this morning, and obviously I'm giving us a little recap. Real quick, okay? This morning, we saw that that's a picture of what will happen to men and women when they try to go meet God on the merit of their own works, keeping the commandments. All these things, go stand before the judgment throne of God, ask Him, what do I lack? Every soul that goes to the judgment throne of God that way is going to go away sorrowfully. Depart from Me, I never knew you. Outer darkness, fire and brimstone, eternal condemnation. The only hope that we have is that Christ, though He was rich, made Himself to be poor, gave all of His riches to His poor people, that we through His poverty might be rich. So our Lord was speaking spiritual things to this man. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. But both in the flesh and in the spirit, our Lord crushed all hopes of man being able to attain salvation on his own. He said, with man, it's impossible, to the point that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Look at verse 23. It says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now I would like for us to end the day with a question that Peter asked the Lord after seeing all of this and hearing all of this. I want to just comment on these last four verses and then really consider some things that apply to all of us today. I pray this will be very applicable to us today. I pray it'll be something to ponder and I pray it'll be a blessing. Verse 27 says, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What is our reward? What is the end result of this going to be for us? What is the result of following Christ? That's what I've titled this message. What is the result of following Christ? Peter heard the Lord tell this rich young ruler in verse 21. And just envision this in your mind. This is a reality. This is a reality. Envision these disciples, they followed the Lord and they looked to the Lord and they listened to the Lord and they watched the Lord as he dealt with people, what he said to people. They're waiting. Can't you see them? The Lord's talking to this man and they're just standing there looking and listening. Verse 21, Peter heard the Lord. Jesus said unto this rich young ruler, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Peter's standing there listening to that. And he starts thinking back on a couple of years ago, a couple of years before this. He and his brother Andrew had a fishing business. All right, they had a boat. They had nets. They had gear. They had customers. They got paid to fish. They got to fish for a living. And he thinks, we just walked away from that. Literally. You ever look back on your life and look back on certain things? We just walked away from that. He looks around at the men that are standing there with the Lord. He sees James and John and he thinks, not only did they walk away from their boat and their nets, they walked away from their father, Zebedee. Matthew left the money. Matthew was in the money. Luke left his practice as a doctor, a physician. We just walked away. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. And he is sitting there right now. He's sitting there right now. He said, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that is happening right now. And I'm going to comment on this verse. I'm going to comment on another verse, and then I'm going to tell you something. There are not 13 thrones in heaven. There are not 13 thrones in heaven. It's not that our Lord is seated on his throne with six thrones on each side of him for the apostles. There is one throne and Jesus Christ is sitting in it and all of his people are seated there with him. All of his people. They're all seated with him. The apostles are not going to be shown favoritism in heaven. No one is going to be shown any favoritism except for Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is not going to receive any more honor than the harlot Rahab. No more. This authority and this judgment that was given to them was given through the writing of the Word of God. God spoke through the mouths of these men. God wrote through the pen of these men. And the word that was given through them is never going to fail. It's never going to fail. God's people are ruled by this word from Peter, James, John, Paul, Matthew. We are ruled by this now, and we will be ruled by this forever. Not one word of this is ever going to fail. Because this is not the word of men. Even though God used men to speak it, this is the word of God. This is the very word of God. And God said in verse 28, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What verse 30 is saying is, the reward is all the same for God's people. It's all the same. We know that because the Lord gave an illustration in chapter 20, verse 1, saying, For. He said, Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And it goes on to say, everybody got paid the same thing. A penny. He hired them all day long. Some worked for 12 long hours. Some worked for 6 hours. Some worked that last hour of the day. They all got paid the same thing. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. There's neither Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond, free. No one stands out. And the reason is because in the kingdom of God, Christ is all and in all. Only Christ stands out. Only Christ. But in answer to Peter's question, what shall we have, therefore? What is the end of this for us? I want us to just think about that for a second. This is a question that Peter is asking on behalf of all of God's people. What is the result of following Christ for us? For us. What will this mean for us as God's people? I want to show you three things that this verse tells us will be the result of following Christ, believing His gospel, believing the truth of His word, and following Him. All right, number one, look with me at verse 29. It says, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake. Number one, the gospel is a divider. The gospel is a divider. I believe it's important that we understand this. Believing on Christ truly, I really do believe that it'll help us if we understand this. Believing on Christ, truly, believing the truth of His word, following Him in His way, not in man's way, but in His way. That divides men and women. Our Lord constantly said, don't be shocked when they treat you like they treated me. Don't be shocked. Those of your own household, He said, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, for my name's sake, for my glory's sake, for my salvation's sake. Much in this world will be lost in truly following Christ. I think it's important we know that. Much in this world will be lost in truly following Christ. I'm telling us this so we won't be shocked when we see it happen. Not only relationships, but attainments, houses, land. God's people don't generally grow up to be sports stars. They just don't. Or rock stars or movie stars. Everybody wanted to be one of those at one point. Investment moguls. Most of the time, those who gain their soul lose the world. It's really important we understand this. Most of the time, not every single time, but most of the time, those who gain their soul lose the world. In following Christ, much separation takes place with this world and with the things and the people of this world. That is just the truth. It's just the truth. That's the true result. We start out in this life thinking we're going to grab it by the tail. We're going to grab this world by the tail. And it is God's mercy when we don't. It's God's mercy when something comes along that sabotages that. I'm not saying that God's people are not hard workers and they're not successful at some things, but God's people are not going to serve God and mammon. They're just not. There's going to be much lost in gaining Christ. Much lost. All right, but here's the second thing. That is true, and we need to know that. But here's the second thing we can see, and the second result that comes to all those who follow Christ. Look at verse 29. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold. Even though outside of Christ there's much loss of the people and things that are outside of Christ, in Christ, there is abundant gain. It's very important we see this. For our comfort, it's very important. In Christ, there is abundant gain. Listen to how Mark's account words this. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. In Christ is infinite gain, really. In Christ we have abundantly more than this world could ever offer us. We have true brothers and true sisters and true parents. We really do. I know, you know, I was thinking about all of you today. And I know that he is your brother. But I mean this. He's my brother too. I mean this. We call each other brother because that's what we are to each other. We're not just saying that. That's just not a holy word. That's not just an affectionate term. We say that because that's what we are to each other. We are as close as brothers and sisters in a family can be. I know that he is your father. But he's my father too. He really is. You've proven that to me for years now. If I went to you for anything, you would do anything in your power to make it happen, as a father would do for his son. And I'd do the same thing as a son would do for a father. I've heard Irene say so many times that I'm like a son to her. That means so much to me because she's like a mother to me. I mean it. I love the two of you so much. I met you when I was 12. I do. I can go around this room and say the same thing and mean it. And mean it. Anything that might be lost in the world is gained in Christ. Anything. And it's abundantly gained in Christ. One thing lost in this world is gained 100-fold in Christ. And that most definitely applies spiritually, absolutely, but it also applies physically. Because of this position, for the gospel's sake, I've been called to be a pastor. Because of this position, I'm never going to have a vacation home. When I had my music store in Rocky Mount, I had one goal. Pay this one off and go get another one. Lake house or ocean house, I don't care which one. That's over. I'm never going to have a vacation home. I had to go down to Orlando mid-January for a conference. As it turns out, I have a house down there. I didn't stay in a hotel. I stayed in a house. I can come anytime I want. That's what I was told. End of January, I had to go to Lake Charles, Louisiana. As it turns out, I have a house down there too. Mid-February, I went to Yuba City, California. Guess what? I have a house out there too. Honestly. Last August, I found out I had a house in Great Falls, Montana. Honestly. The gospel will divide God's people from this world. It will divide God's people from this world. But even though we experience loss in this world, we experience great gain in Christ. What our Lord is saying right here, the reason I'm telling you this is because our Lord said, right now, in this time, in this lifetime, now here's the last thing I want to say about Peter's question here, okay? Win or lose in this world, what does it matter as long as we gain Christ in the end? What does it matter? What does it matter? Look right here at Mark 10, verse 30. It says the same thing our text said. Verse 30, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Eternal life is Christ Himself. Christ Himself. He said in John 14, I am the life. To win Christ is to win it all. Peter was standing there listening to the Lord tell this rich young ruler about treasure in heaven. He's sitting there listening to that. Treasure in heaven. We read about an inheritance that is being reserved in heaven for us. You all have thought about it. We got this inheritance reserved in heaven for us. When you think about that, is your mind on the money? No. It's on Him. He's the inheritance. He really is the inheritance. He really is the treasure. He's the pearl of great price. And in seeing that, all of God's people say this. They do say this. Lord, strip me down here if it means I can gain Christ up there. Don't let me make it to the top 10 richest men in this country. Don't let me make it to the big screen. Really, strip me down here if it means I can gain Christ up there. In closing, let's just hear the words of a rich young ruler who either was this man or represents this man. Either way, he represents all of God's people. Let's hear his words and see if we can say the same thing with him. Go to Philippians 3. We'll close with this. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And can't we say that? Everything that used to be gained to me, everything that I thought was what I wanted in this life, I don't want it anymore. Verse 7, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings with Him, with God, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul said, if I can have Him, I'll have it all. I'll have it all. What is the result, really? Really? What is the result of losing everything on this earth and following Christ? Here it is. Attaining it all. Attaining it all. That's the result. If we have Him, we have it all. We truly have it all. Oh, that we might win Christ and be found in Him. Okay.